Hi, and welcome to Angel Answers with your host, yours truly, Amy Toy. I am so glad to be spending this time with you. We have a lot to cover today, and our topic for today's show is about, you know, because it's Valentine's Day tomorrow, we're going to be talking about how to find and attract love if you're not in a relationship. And next week's topic will be about infidelity. So this will be a good way to create a relationship and then how to screw it up next week. So I will be giving messages for our beautiful angelic helpers at the last half of the show, so be patient. Here's the phone numbers that I'd like to announce, so you can call in. The phone numbers in the U.S. are 1-888-627-6008, and that's within the U.S. and Canada. And those outside the continental U.S. and Canada is area code 530-413-4522. And if you like a private reading with me, and you may visit my website at angelanswers11.com, or you can email me now during the show at angelicamy35@gmail.com. We have the fabulous Chris that's going to be calling pretty soon. He'll be calling into the show about 4:15. He'll be calling in, so Doug, take note, Chris is going to be calling in. He's going to be giving us a perspective on the male's perspective about what men look for in women and look for in relationships. I mean, over the weekend, because it was Valentine's Day weekend, the weekend before, you know, tomorrow, I had some interesting callers, and there was a common thread. So Chris is going to address some issues that he's noticed with women and what men look for in a relationship. So, like I said, this is going to be a good show. So since tomorrow is Valentine's Day, and in the spirit of such a day, which characterizes as romance and love and cards and cupids and all that stuff, we want to address what, if you're not in a relationship, a lot of our women callers, especially that call me on the lines, will say, you know, I'm not in a relationship, and, you know, how do I attract that person? What do I do to create that relationship? And when we mean to create or manifest, which means to make clear or evident, that means to bring about, to, it's like the magician pulling the rabbit out of the hat. So you can create a relationship. People think it's just going to happen to them instead of being proactive. And we're going to talk about different things like matchmaking, online dating. Like I said, what makes a good relationship, how to create that. So if you're single, what do you do to find a partner? I mean, what is, you know, how do you find that? How do you find that special someone? I mean, traditionally, a lot of people will go to bars or nightclubs or events to find people. And sometimes they attract undesirable people, you know, womenizers, drinkers, addicts, you know, the noncommittal guy, you know, looking for the one-night stand or the one-night stand woman. And they attract these unpleasant places, peoples, and things. Well, you want a quality relationship. I mean, I think we all reach a certain point in our lives where we've done that, been there, done that. Maybe we played around. Maybe we've done that, and we just want to create that relationship that really holds to our heart. And it is possible. Sometimes it takes trial and error. Like I said, mentioned to you last week, you know, we come down here incarnate to learn the lessons of life, and life is about learning lessons. And if we can grasp some of those lessons, we're more lucky for it. Sometimes we have, you know, the same script, but different people in different circumstances, but the same lesson keeps getting knocked out. So we're going to talk about some things to help us with that. So what if you want a relationship? Maybe you're not in a relationship. You're kind of feeling sorry for yourself. I know I spent many a Valentine's Day where I avoided, February 14th on the calendar. And it's funny because Valentine's Day really wasn't meant to be a holiday, you know, of love. It actually, it's a Saint Valentine's Day. He was a saint. This guy was a martyr. He was in early Christianity, Saint Valentine's, and he really wasn't, a patriarch of love. It was more about he was a saint that died for his causes, you know. And it's interesting how it morphed and evolved into, you know, Valentine's as, you know, the holiday of love. And then 1969, being a recovered Catholic, they took it off as a feast day. So it is really a day of commemoration, but it's just, you know, recognized as a commercial holiday now instead of the usual, you know, holiday, you know, of saints, of feast days. So I thought that was interesting because I was like, I remember celebrating St. Valentine's Day when I was growing up as a recovered Catholic. So anyway, when we get to this romance here, where relationships and really what we really want to do, it just attract somebody that we want to hang out with, and getting back to the mate, you know, attract the proper partner or mate, and that's what we really want. And I think that, you know, with all the commercialization of romance, you know, you got to kind of keep that, like we mentioned last week, you know, keep that romance not alive, but keep the relationship going. We over-romanticize things. That's what I was trying to say. So anyway, how do we find someone in our lives, fulfilling, loving, and caring? How do we attract that mate? And I remember a friend of mine used to say, you need to define what you desire, or you need to define it and you will find it. And I like that, define it and you will find it. So how do you define something? Well, first of all, sometimes we have to go through the frogs before we meet the prince. And I know from my own personal experience that I found somebody, I kept attracting the same kind of guy, the emotionally unavailable guy, the guy that would come on like really strong in the beginning of the relationship, and once he got my attention and attracted or got me into a relationship, he started going off and doing his own thing, whether that was alcohol, which is a common situation in my life, or someone who was just emotionally unavailable and just couldn't give me what I desired at the time. So there is a really cool book that I worked with. A lot of my friends have had excellent results and attracting, you know, kind of getting, weeding out what's my problem. Why am I attracting the wrong kind of guy? What am I doing wrong? It comes to you. I. You are the common denominator in all this. It's nobody else. You can't look at external circumstances. Like I said, you're going to attract who you are. And that comes, you know, and maybe I sound a little stern when I say it, but it's true. You attract who you are. So you want somebody who is emotionally available to you, you have to be emotionally available to yourself. And that's very important to remember. You need to be emotionally available to yourself. So you need to give yourself the self-care and love that you need. If you're not paying attention to your own needs, how the heck is someone else could do it for you? So an excellent and thought-provoking book that I found that I personally used. Oh, it's quite funny. There's some good exercises in this book. It's called Are You the One for Me? Knowing Who's Right and Avoiding Who's Wrong. It's by Barbara DeAngelis. The funny thing about Barbara DeAngelis, she was married to John Gray, the guy who wrote Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. They were married, divorced in 84, I believe. So this was interesting to find out that these two were, you know, two relationship experts were once married. And so this book talks about going through your past relationships. There's a common thread. Maybe you're attracting the guy that's an alcoholic or an addict, somebody who does not have a job and you're supporting their sorry, you know what, or maybe just someone who's emotionally unavailable. He might be a good provider. He may have all the bells and whistles, but you're not attracting them. You know, you're just attracting the wrong kind of guy. As I joke with my girlfriends, you have loser applied here or worthless guy apply here on your forehead. It's like a neon sign. It's right there in front of you. So you have this kind of problem, you know, but you, first of all, you got to find out what you are attracting. And that's the key here. What kind of guy are you attracting? So she has in this book, Are You the One for Me? She talks about putting a want ad, you know, emotionally unavailable guy who maybe is jobless at times, who, you know, and it's really funny because it kind of comes across as really funny. And it is, and I got the emotionally unavailable guy, the one who will pay attention to me only when he wants something. Or, you know, when we go out, you know, and shows me off to his friends or whatever it was. I can't remember. It was such a long time ago. God, it was a long time ago. So you do this, you put this wanting it out. So your subconscious is like, got it. I'm attracting those emotionally unavailable guys. Okay, got it. And then you place. Now, I'm going to deter away from what she talks about. I'm going to give you some tips on how to go through. I call it listing, and it may be boring, but once you get to what you don't want, you want to say what you do want. So be very clear, very delineated. What do you want? A guy who has a good job. Okay, that's number one. A guy who's going to be thoughtful and pay attention to my needs. check. Alcohol and drugs free. See, it's how you word it. And sometimes I used to do the listing thing, and once in a while I would revise my list. And, you know, I would be in a relationship, and then I would go through my list, and I'd say, didn't like that kind. He's kind of too scattered for me. You know, I wanted the intelligent, the intellectual guy who had, you know, a degree. You know, I don't like that. And after a while, I got down to astrology signs, which was really funny. That one time I put an ad on Craigslist, you know, I wanted to just date, and I'd said no Libras apply because I had a guy who was a Libra and I thought he was kind of screwed up. Well, who did I attract but a bunch of Libras? It was real funny. They wanted to prove to me that they were worthy of my attention, and I thought it was quite funny because after the experiment, I'm like, that's why I don't like you, because you are, you know, this. Now, I'm not saying, I'm just using that just for an instance. So when you do that, you want to kind of put it out to the universe. What you want. You've got to be very, very clear on what you want. So make up a list. Okay, maybe you're attracted. Actually, it was weird because the guy I'm with now is totally opposite of the physical description that I wanted. Tall, dark, and handsome. I like the tall guys with the dark eyes and the dark hair. No, I got a blue-eyed, light-haired guy. And, you know, he's tall. That's great. But, you know, it was total opposite. So I usually tell my clients to say, you know, I like the tall, dark, and handsome. I'm like, sometimes you need to go with the opposite on what you're using, and we'll go into what you're attracted to, so we'll go into that later. So you kind of, okay, you go through what you've attracted. You've gone through your past relationships, and you look at, see, what was not working. You see, what you got to do is look at what's not working and then what to put into what's working. With the universe, if you're going to say, I don't want this, it's going to send you what you don't want. You've got to define, okay, you know, like say alcohol and drug free, okay? Job, as a job. You want to do that. So it's interesting that if you can do that, that's really cool. So, you know, and how do you go about finding that guy? Like I said, the bars and the nightclubs, you know, you're not going to find a quality relationship. Maybe back in the 1970s you do. That's fine. I've been through them all, so I'm not that old. I'm pushing 40, but I'm not that old where I haven't been through all that stuff, and my clients haven't been either. And like I said, we learn from each other, so sometimes a client will say, oh, I tried this and it worked. The one thing that I do find that has worked for me personally was the online dating. That's just me. That's just me. It worked for me. I attracted two significant relationships in my life that was through the online dating. Now, that's a game in itself. Online dating, I've heard, you know, pitfalls to the online dating sites, eHarmony. I've heard I've heard good and bad things about Match on, you know, eHarmony, Plenty of Fish. You know, you've really got to be discerning because I've noticed just from. Great. Well, I'm going to cut into that, and we have Chris, the fabulous Chris, is with us today. He is going to be talking to us about a man's perspective on what attracts. Chris, are you there?
I'm here, and I'm blushing over the fabulous appellation.
You're like, who is she talking about? Just kidding.
Exactly.
Well, Chris, You know, my female callers, the reason why I brought you on today, and how are you doing today, by the way? Thank you for coming on. I appreciate it. You know, I wanted to get a man's perspective. You're probably like looking around like, who are you talking about?
Well, I've had my share of experience like a lot of guys, so I think I can offer some insights maybe.
Okay. Like I said, this is from your perspective. Because Chris and I, you know, we know each other in the Western New York area. We hang out once in a while. He's like my big brother. And we talk about relationship stuff, and some of the things that you've talked about with me have been pertinent, I feel, you know. And I think it's really cool that you have some common stuff that women will think about, okay? What about, okay, like, for example, Chris, women will call me on the lines, and they'll say, I got to lose weight, and I'm self-conscious because I've got to be a little thinner. I'm not feeling good about myself. Do really some men care about the super thin model thing, in your opinion?
Well, of course, some men do, and of course, these men tend to get disappointed when they find out that not all women have control over their metabolism, and once they get together, if the woman puts on weight, are they going to leave him then? You know, that's something to consider. Men have these same fears, though.
Yeah, and that's interesting, you know, that you said that. Yeah.
It's extraordinarily difficult for some people to keep that weight off. I mean, it's not... I mean, I agree people who are too heavy should try to take it off for health reasons. But attraction has to be more than that. I mean, I'm not going to go for the cliche and say, well, it's what's on the inside is important. What I will say is that different physical attraction is important. Let's be honest about that. But see, different things attract different people.
Right, like me with the tall, dark, and handsome guy, but yet I'm with NASCAR guy who is blue-eyed and, you know, light blonde hair, you know, or light brown hair. Yeah, you know, it's different.
Yes, and there are some men who are attracted to heavy-set women, and there are other men who are attracted, you know, to both thinner and you know, heavier women, like me. I've been attracted to both, you know, and everybody has their preferences. Some people have, you know, a more broad attraction than others, and, you know, others more narrow.
Yeah,
so it's really not hopeless for anybody.
Right. Let's face it, beauty fades. It is kind of what's inside. You've got to be able, to look at, like a couple of my friends would say, you got to look across the breakfast table and say, yeah, I can look at them. But also, it's what's compatibility and everything else. Yeah, you're right. The physical package does kind of entice you in, right? You know?
At least in the beginning, in the early stages of a relationship, it's important. Now, maybe if you've been together 25 years and that, you know, or 30 years and that beauty is fading, but you've had all these life experiences together where you've always been there for each other, you know, in that case, you know, then you don't worry about the physical aspects that much at that point because the love changes more to a nurturing type, but it's still very strong.
Mm-hmm. Right, because the Greek, the Greek have the Eros love, which is that initial romantic, you know, because the Greek have there's five kinds of love the Greeks kind of categorize love. And you have the Eros, which is your romantic love. It's what it brings you in. It's like what pulls the package all together, you know. And then it goes into the other phases, which, you know, I'm not going to go into right now, but, right, you know, that initial infatuation stage, the first, 3 months before the mask come off and you see the real person?
Well, yes, I do agree that if you give someone just a short amount of time, the real person does come out. And personally, from a lot of personal experience, I don't buy it. When a woman tells me she's been with an abusive guy for many years and she says, he was so wonderful for the first 5 years we're together, I don't really believe that.
You decided to come out of denial after 5 years, you know,
Yes. And let's put it this way. Women are not stupid. People say, well, women are stupid. No, they're not stupid. They're smart. They're in denial sometimes when this happens. I've been in denial. A lot of men are, too. I've been with someone who was blatantly bad for me. Everybody around me could see it. I could see it, but I was in denial.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that doesn't mean stupidity. Yeah, it means denial.
Yeah, denial. And
you know,
it's
that river in Egypt.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know my saying. You took the words right out of my mouth. But, you know, relationships in general. When you are in a relationship, Chris, for example, you're going to talk about, okay, let's say we are going with the guy, you meet the guy online or through a matchmaker or whoever, or you met him at the bar or whatever you meet him at. What are some things that you look for when you are dating a woman? What qualities do you think capture you besides beyond the physical?
Okay, we'll admit up front, everything is different. I'm not going to speak for all men, but I do think there are some generalities that a large number of men would respond to. So one of the things I've noticed that some women do, don't get me wrong, a lot of women are fantastic on their dates, but a problem I've noticed with many, if you find a man you really like, or even one you don't spend the first date whining on his shoulder about your personal problems. Because then the first thing the guy is going to wonder is, does this woman want a boyfriend or does she want a personal therapist? I mean, granted, your man does have to be there for you in hard times, but
not on the first date. Yeah, exactly.
Yes, and just like women get used. Yes, and just like women get used by men for reasons, this is one of the things savvy women use some men for. They find romantic interest, but all they really want is someone to talk to. And there's nothing wrong with that, but don't be dishonest about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, because you're going to notice the guy looking at his watch constantly or his clock on his cell phone constantly when you're doing that. And it's not that he's heartless. You know, it's just that this is supposed to be a date. You know, not a psychotherapy session.
Yeah, go pay the $85 and find yourself a good therapist. Okay.
Yes. And, you know, it also might make the guy wonder, this has happened with me, another fear that guy have, is this woman clinically sane? I mean, everybody has problems, but since she's talked about nothing but that, is she the type who let her problems overwhelm her and she's going to go crazy on me unexpectedly? Or, you know, guys worry about these things too, not just women.
What about the woman that talks about her ex-boyfriends on the first date?
Okay, that is also problematic. I mean, it's okay to mention in passing, you know, why, you know, a common question for both, why are you single right now? When was your last relationship? That's fine. But you don't talk about how horribly that guy hurt you and this and that for a half hour, because the guy is naturally going to wonder, is she over this guy yet?
Right.
Did they break up, or is this just a tiff, if that's the proper word to use, you know?
Yeah.
And are they going to be back together again once he calls up in 2 weeks and apologizes to her? These things happen all the time. This is not paranoia. These things happen. You know,
right.
So I mean, if I had to advise, you know, any woman, I'd say wait a couple months before trying another relationship so you know you're not using the guy as your rebound man.
Well, I would even venture to say even for longer than that, because it depends on if, you know, I have a lot of my clients call me up on the lines and say, is he coming back to me? Do you see a reconciliation? Do you see this? And a lot of times I do, and sometimes I don't. And it all depends on if he's, you know, if you're done with each other. If I'm seeing a karmic cord, I call it karmic cords or soul connection, you know, still with you guys, you guys better believe it. If you're going to ring another third party, and it's okay to date, I'm not saying that, because sometimes I'll say to my clients, just get out there and meet people. Just get out there and meet them. But, you know, for you to be involved in another relationship, I don't think so.
Well, you know, that's another thing, too. You know, I've also, you know, and also in terms of some of the things, too, I've advised women, some of the things I notice a lot of women are turned off by with guys is really unfair.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I mean, they can't control their subconscious.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for one thing, and please don't believe any woman who tells you otherwise, I've noticed lots of women, and every man knows this, are turned off if a guy happens to be nervous, because they make judgments about the man that may very well not be true, and in many cases I know for a fact is not be true, and one of these judgments is they assume he can't be confident in a general sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, that's not true, because I've known my share of sociopathic men who were very confident with women because women were attracted to them, but were enormous cowards when it came to just about everything else, including standing up for themselves. You know, and I've known guys, including me, who tend to get nervous if he really likes a woman and wants to make a good impression. But, you know, that does not mean I'm not tough and confident in many other ways.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, I mean, women often deny that and say, oh, my God, I'd never turn a guy down just because he was jealous or just because he was nervous. I mean, if he had these other good qualities. And, you know, that's not true, Amy. Okay, they do. And they say that because they don't want to come off as shallow, and in many cases, I think it's subconscious on their part, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, you know.
I mean, sorry, ladies, but your date is going to know it bothers him as soon as you tap on the shoulder and say, why are you so nervous in this tone of voice? Sorry, he's going to know it bothers you, so don't say it doesn't.
I'll keep that in mind.
Yes. And don't get me wrong, but we're not saying there aren't, there are a plethora of problematic guy behaviors out there that should turn you off, don't get me wrong. We're just talking about the ones that, in my opinion, shouldn't.
Right. And what are some of the problematic things that you have noticed with men? What kind of men do you think women should steer clear of?
Okay. This is a hard thing for a lot of women to do, Amy. We've got to take this in consideration. Steer clear of guys who cannot turn their tough guy mannerisms off if it has no on or no off button, because a lot of women were raised in our society to think that these guys are tough and they're confident and they'll stand up for you, but really, very often, it turns out they're abusive. I mean, I would never suggest a woman that she dates a whiff, But just because he's tender, you know, with a woman he cares about does not mean he isn't tough and that he won't be. But he's got to have an off button for that toughness. You know, just like I love assertive women, you know, but, you know, if they don't have an off button for that assertiveness, come on, the B word applies to them.
Right, yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you.
Yeah,
you know,
and you know, I mean, it's great to be tough and stand up for yourself, but, you know, you got to have that off button.
I agree
with you.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, a man to me is someone who is balanced in all aspects, and that's hard to find. You know, our men are treated, you know, not to show their emotions and to be tough and da 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 da. But when it comes down to it, they have feelings too, and it's okay if a guy has feelings. I mean, I don't discredit guys that. You know, they have feelings, they have emotions, they have a heart. And that's okay to have.
Oh, God, Amy, trust me. Yeah, guys cry their eyes out when a woman they love breaks up with them. Trust me. They just don't do it publicly most of the time. But when you see a man have a breakup or something, if you ever wondered why does he tend to leave the place very quickly, you know why now.
Okay. And, you know, with women, what do you think is, how do you keep a man interested in you? If you're involved with them, what keeps your attention?
I could only speak for myself, Amy, but I could
right,
do that if
you fine.
Like.
I mean, we're getting a man's perspective here, you know. But you and
yes.
I have had really good, some good conversations about relationships, and that's why I brought you on.
Well, the things, Amy, that keep me interested in a woman, I honestly have to use the word logical, meaning if a woman acts like she's interested in me, I get interested. You know, I don't like the idea of playing hard to get because, in my opinion, that's head games,
mm-hmm.
You know, and it's not a way to build trust. You know, that's why a woman who plays hard to get with me is going to lose me fast because, you know, I'm going to get confused. Nobody likes to get confused. You know, that's mean. You know, and a lot of women will defend that and say, come on, I'm just teasing him gently. Well, a lot of guys, you know, if you go too far with it, you know, they don't like it. Some women will say, well, I think a man should work in order to get me. You know, but if he's a decent guy, you know, you're hurting yourself by doing that, and you're losing his trust. Now, I'm not saying, you know, make yourself too available to him and everything to the point where you're at his beck and call, but I prefer women to act like they're interested if they are interested, and I've never had a woman in my life lose interest in me because they actually acted like they were interested. You know, a lot of those books you get, you know, those self-help books that tell women basically to be total jerks with guys, don't, you know, you're not gonna get him to want you more, at least not if he's like me.
Right, yeah, there was that book called Why Men Love Bitches. Yeah, that was one of them. I can't remember
yes.
who wrote that
Oh, we
book.
Could say the word on here. Cool. Well,
I'm not supposed to. Well, it's a title of a book. I don't know how the censors are. But anyway,
it is a title of a book, you know.
Right, it is. And, you know, there's a book that I actually read that. I thought it was quite interesting, the analogy. I mean, I think you have to have a balance. You know,
I mean, yeah, like I said, an assertive woman, yes. And you know what other type of woman I like? In all honesty, I love tough women. You know, are tough and assertive. It's not true that men prefer women who are weak. Not at least not in my case. I like tough and assertive women. But like I said, I don't like women who are tough and assertive when there isn't a call for it.
Right. Yeah.
You know nothing. You know, and a lot of women will say, well, you know, guys don't like assertive women. They call them bitches if they're assertive. Well, I said there's a difference between the two, and I explain what that difference is.
Right, exactly.
You know, if I meet a woman, yeah, I've met women when I've gone out of my way to be polite, and they're just nasty to me constantly, as if, you know, and their eyes are saying, I'm showing him I got attitude, I'm tough.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but wait until I act like a jerk before they do that.
Exactly, you know, and exactly, I mean, you know, we're taught in our society as women to be like cowards and, you know, let the man, the white knight in shining armor kind of thing. And when I started my business a long time ago, I was self-conscious about that, but I'm with a guy who respects that. You know, he has his job, I have my, you know, job, and we work together somehow. And he doesn't mind, you know, doing things around the house if I can't do that, you know, because I work crazy.
Well, I think it's great, Amy. You know, I think it's great that you support yourself.
Exactly.
You're in a relationship. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you support yourself, he supports himself. For a liberated woman, that's the way it should be.
Exactly, and a lot of women think that, because I feel that we've kind of changed the rules in a lot of ways. You know, we're still in that, I feel, that kind of that gray area where women are still trying to find who they are and what they need to do.
Well, it's a redefinition because, you know, the way that the so-called traditions, you know, have changed. You know, and there's some attitudes that we have that women should be independent, which I agree, but at the same time, it's okay for a man to support them, yet the opposite is shameful. In my opinion, it's shameful in either way. You know, if you want rights, you have to accept the responsibilities that come with those rights.
Yes, and, you know, like, women sometimes think, well, he should support me, you know. I actually look down on some women, some, not all, that, you know, I respect women who give up their careers if they choose to stay home with the children. I respect that. But if they're using it to manipulate men and, you know, being taken care of, I don't respect women for that.
No, because if you're economically dependent on another person, that person has power over you. That's the way it was in the past. That's why women had so little power in the past, because they thought it was wonderful to have men take care of them. But guess what? The men called all the shots because they had the economic power.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to be dependent on anybody else.
Right? You want to be.
You know, because that is
Just as much as that person is supporting you, that given they are giving you their support, it's just as they easily give it, it can be taken away too. And how many times women will call me up on the lines and say, you know what, I was with him for, I had one woman 15 years, you know, raised the kids, and all of a sudden he left her for another woman, or, you know, her husband left her for another woman, you know, or whatever. And, you know, it's like,
Well, you know what, Amy, let's look back at sitcoms like I Love Lucy, I'm sure a lot of us do, that was made during the 50s, during another era, that we find some aspects we find hilarious from today's perspective, because let's look at it. Lucy wasn't working, as a lot of women didn't back then. You know, Ricky was taking care of her. She got an allowance from him, and a lot of the shows revolved around him saying, no, I'm not paying for this hat, Lucy. you got to bring it back. And, you know, even though she would get over on her husband a lot, she was dependent on him.
Right, exactly.
If she had her own money, you know, she could buy her hat. But then the one episode where she said, okay, me and Ethel are sick of this. We're getting jobs. And Ricky and Fred laughed at them and said, but what can the two of you do? And you know what happened? They failed trying to get the job. You know, they messed up at the candy factory, everywhere else. And, yeah, it was funny, but what kind of message was that giving the woman back then?
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? My mother my mother was one that taught me, thank God, to, you know, make my own way in the world. She always told me you got to rely on yourself and not anybody else. And she told me, hey, have your own bank account, have your own this, you know, have a household account, but also have your own bank account. You know, so it all depends on, you know, where you want to be. If women want to be dependent on somebody else, I'm not saying anything's wrong with that, but it's just been my experience, that's not a good thing either.
Well, just tell them to expect, you know, that the person they're dependent on is going to call the shots in many ways.
Exactly.
You know, and how much freedom they get depends on that person's individual level of generosity. Same with the, you know, stay-at-home men. We laugh at the idea of stay-at-home men, but what movie was that? Meet the Fockers? We had a stay-at-home father in that movie, remember?
Yeah, wasn't that, I know. Dustin Hoffman portrayed that, yes.
You know, yeah. And I remember his father-in-law, you know, or not his father-in-law, his son's father-in-law thought that was shameful.
Yeah.
Robert De Niro's role.
yeah, he did, and I think it's interesting how, you know, through the generations, I think we are still being redefined through the women's liberation movement, you know, burning of the bras, and now we've got responsibility with that. You're right.
Now it's the burning of the pocketbook, you know? pocketbook going the way of the bras. You know, we got to keep our own, you know. But you have to have your own independent pocketbook. What they really got to do, what I should have said, was burn, you know, the joint account, pocketbook, and get your own account, and don't be dependent on your husband, you know, and everything. And honestly, Amy, that's part of the reason why, going back to before, why so many women, I think, like bad boys, you know, and abusive guys, because they're taught, and this is a problem, they're taught to look for men who are providers. And I say, no, don't look for providers. Look for a partner, an equal partner. Do not look for a provider, because that's like looking for an owner. You know, and subconsciously, when they meet a guy who's a bad boy and abusive, they get the impression he's tough, so he's a good provider.
Yeah.
And those guys don't make good providers.
No, they don't. Well, Chris, our time is coming short. I got to take a break, and then we're going to be taking messages. But I really appreciate your perspective on things. You're coming back next week about cheating and infidelity, because you have some thoughts on that too. So I appreciate you coming in and talking with us. I really do, Chris. You're a godsend.
No problem, Amy. Thank you for dealing with my opinionated self, and I'll see you next week.
Okay, thanks, Chris.